At UK, the First Scholars Program addresses the unique challenges of students who are the first in their families to attend college. Here to tell us more are Matthew Defendahl, Director of First Generation Initiatives at the University of Kentucky, and Martina Martin, First Scholars Coordinator. I'm Tom Goodell. Matt, Martina, welcome to UK Perspectives.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On average, what percentage of incoming UK freshmen are the first in their families to attend college, and how many of them participate in the First Scholars Program? Matt?
Well, one of the things that we're able to do is on the University of Kentucky's admissions application, students are asked whether they are first generation, and they're also asked to identify the level of education based on their parents. And that's how first generation status is designated, is solely based on whether both of your parents graduated from college with a bachelor's degree. So if neither parent graduated with a bachelor's degree, then you are considered a first-generation college student.
And what is that percentage, then, of our new freshmen?
At UK, right now, about one in four of our incoming freshmen are first-generation, and a little more than one in three of our transfer students. So when looking at the entire undergraduate population at the university, about 30% of all currently enrolled students are classified as first-generation.
Is that unusual among universities, not necessarily in Kentucky, but nationwide?
That's actually the standard for four-year public institutions. In Kentucky, some of the private schools and some of the smaller rural areas actually see a much larger percentage. Mm-hmm. Statistically, at the community and technical college system, we see a much larger percentage of students. It's roughly about 58% nationwide that pursue a community and technical college degree. So for UK, we're right in line with the national average.
And then of those first-generation students, how many of them are participants in your program?
We have 20 scholars that are selected each year out of a pool of nearly 200 applications that we get during the spring while they're finishing high school. Like many other scholarship programs, they apply during the traditional scholarship selection process. And then those are screened and reviewed by a selection committee, and those offers are made in March, and then they're selected to start in the fall.
Martina, you're the coordinator of the First Scholars Program, so tell me, what kinds of support do you provide to the students once they get into the program?
Well, once the students arrive within the program, we provide academic advising. We also provide them an academic support network or support system. So we're there to help them, assist them with finding tutoring, finding mentoring opportunities, finding ways to get involved on the campus within the local community. We also work with them to set up community service projects so they learn how, you know, what it means to give back to the area that they're currently living within. So there's a variety of things that we can offer them, just general programming, academic enrichment programs, as well as some career development, leadership development as well.
Is there also support that's provided to the parents?
Yes. One of the things that is a challenge for most first-generation students when they come to campus is that the support structure that a continuing generation student might have at home is missing for that student. So we start during the summer advising conference when the parents come, providing some additional information about how they can provide support, giving them some questions that they can ask at home in terms of better understanding of what their student is going to go through during this transition period. And then we have a newsletter that we send out each semester to communicate with the parents and let them know what's happening in the program, as well as what are some things that we're looking for them for support. I mean, the most important thing that parents have to understand is they're partners in this process. So it's really a triangulation of service. You've got the student, you've got the university and its support structure, and you've got the parent. And if the triangle is working, then the student is going to be successful, because there are things that we can see that are concerns or questions that they can ask at home because they know this student better than anybody else. They know if they're not eating right or if they're not developing relationships with people on campus and getting that connection. One of the most important things that we're trying to do with this program and get the students to see that this is a holistic program, not just about a scholarship, but that we're trying to help them make that connection to campus, be it with a peer mentor, an academic advisor, a faculty mentor, an alumni mentor, But that connection is what we know from student development theory is going to make them successful.
Has the FIRST Scholars Program had an impact on retention and graduation rates?
The FIRST Scholars Program has been tremendously successful. We are averaging about a 95% retention rate at the end of the first year. And overall, our retention rate with the program is running between 85 and 90%. Right now, our first class of scholars that began in the fall of 2010 finished the spring semester with a 3.2 GPA and a cumulative GPA of 3.146, and 85% of them are pre-registered to return in the fall 2012 semester. Now, what's interesting is when you compare that to how first-generation students traditionally do at the university, it's much more successful. What we know is that first-generation students tend to return for their second year at about a rate of 75% as compared to the overall university's rate of roughly around 82% of incoming freshmen. So the program has been very successful, and we're really proud of this past freshman class, the 2011 group that started. They finished their first year with a 3.0 spring GPA and a cumulative GPA of 3.133. So the scholars are doing much better, and when you look at the cumulative GPAs of first-generation students traditionally at UK, the average UK student is going to finish their first year roughly around a 3.0, but 2.8 to 3.0. The average first-generation student is going to finish between a 2.5 and a 2.6. So for us to have scholars averaging above a 3.0, really is a tremendous testament to the support structure and what that means and how that can help students be successful.
You mentioned that this program started in 2010, so you don't have graduation data yet at this point. It's a little early.
Correct.
But presumably this kind of program would have an impact on graduation rates, I would think.
Yes, because at UK, our graduation rates for our first-generation students are hovering around 40%.
Wow, that low.
Yes. So we're really hoping that this program will be the catalyst to changing the culture at the university towards first-generation students. One of the things that we've been able to do as a result of this program is institute a living learning community for any incoming first-generation student. And that started this past year, and those students, about 93% of them, will be returning for their sophomore year. So the support structures are being put in place to start really looking at first-generation college students at UK and how are we supporting these students to be successful towards graduation.
And you mentioned that there are 20 students in this program per class, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Is there a plan to expand that at all?
The ability to expand the program is going to rely on the support and generosity of donors in the community. We are only able to offer the 20 scholarships because that's the funds that we currently have available. The way it works right now is we started with seed money from the Souter Foundation, and they provided the first two classes of scholarships. This fall 2012 class is going to be provided by donations that we've received from UK alum and other donors in the community. To support the program, we're looking at $5,000 scholarship per year per student. So that's not going to cover full tuition, but what we're looking at is in the students that we identify, because they all have to be Kentucky residents, and they're going to be bringing in Keys money, and many of them are Pell Grant eligible based on income, this $5,000 really is the gap that it would take for them to make them successful without having to take out a student loan or having to work that second job to be able to be successful.
We're speaking with Matthew Deffendahl, Director of First Generation Initiatives at UK, and Martina Martin, First Scholars Coordinator here. If a parent or a high school student is interested in the First Scholars Program, how do they get in touch with you, or what's the process?
Well, one of the things that will be happening this fall will be the Sea Blue Preview Nights that will be starting in August around the Commonwealth. So that's a wonderful opportunity for high school juniors and even seniors to come out and see what UK has to offer and learn about the majors and pick up information about the admissions process. By looking, when you apply for admissions to the university, if you are a first-generation college student or you may not have thought you were until you've heard this interview, then you want to make sure you check that box on your admissions application. Then we will contact you if you are a Kentucky resident, if you have at least a 3.3 high school GPA and at least a 22 ACT. And so those are the minimum criteria to be able to apply for the program. And the application deadline is generally about the middle of February, around February 15th, depending if it's a weekend or not. So the next cycle will be February of 2013. So students would be able to access the application starting in November on our website, and then they can apply and wait to hear back.
Now, I know 20 is a relatively small pool of students, but is there any particular effort being made toward ensuring diversity in that group?
One of the things that we try very hard is to make sure that the scholar pool is representative of the university. And so when we look at the total number of applicants, we take a lot of factors into consideration. We divide the applicants based on geography. So we look at making sure that we have equal representation from Eastern, Central, and Western Kentucky. We also try very hard to make sure we have a very diverse pool. I'm proud to say that each year about 25% of our scholars selected are underrepresented populations. So we really try very hard and also try to get a good gender balance between the scholars. And that gives them an opportunity to really connect with a small community and learn how to interact with people who may not be like themselves.
I think that was one of the great things about attending a university for me many, many years ago in the dark ages, that it was quite a different population from what I had grown up with. And it was very important.
And it's really important, especially in this global environment. You may not ever leave Kentucky to work, but that doesn't mean you won't work with people who don't look like you. Even if it's interacting virtually or electronically by trying to conduct business, or you may be even working for a local bank that's now part of a multinational corporation and you will be interacting with people all over the world. And so learning about culture and tolerance and understanding really is going to make these students more successful, not just here at the university, but in life.
Martina Martin, you mentioned the leadership component of the program. Tell us more about how students become involved in that and what they do.
Well, as our students move into their sophomore year, we take a great initiative to ensure that there's leadership that is going to be developed within those individuals as they move forward. We talk a lot about involvement, getting involved on campus and in their community. So to lead into that and help them, you know, help develop that, we offer a leadership workshop series that goes on throughout the spring semester of their second year here. And within that series of leadership workshops, we cover from the basics, what is leadership, the types of leadership, the foundations, the types of leaders, and we do a variety of leadership assessments. So the students begin to understand, what type of leader am I? You know, how do I work well with others? And so with that, too, we focus a lot on the social change model, which looks at becoming a change agent and what those students can do to make a change, make an impact. A lot of times our students think of leadership as a position, like I'm going to be the president of an organization, or I don't want to be a president, or I'm not that type of person, I'm not outgoing enough. However, we try to kind of dispel that myth of it being a position and allowing students to know that there are other ways that they can kind of be involved and take charge without being, you know, that position of a president or something of that nature. So we're looking forward to next year, and we've already began the process of working through the different activities and projects that we can do to help kind of develop up-and-coming leaders, not only within our program as First Scholars, but on campus as well.
Yeah, I think we all have leadership potential within us, and we all have times in our careers, even if you're not the boss, mm-hmm. that you take leadership in a particular activity or a team, and you need to get that activity moving forward, and you need to be the leader. And so having that experience at mm-hmm. the college level is just invaluable.
Very, very, very.
One of the things that we really push the students to do in the program is, how are you adding value to your resume? You're one of several thousand graduates from the University of Kentucky each year. How are you going to be different? What's going to set you apart? What makes you unique? And we really strive to get the students to think critically early on in the process about how are they adding value. And one of the best ways they can do that is with experiential education. either through an education abroad experience, through an internship, through undergraduate research, through a co-op, but making sure that they're going out in the field and gaining the experience so that when they go into their first interview, they're going to be able to say, oh yes, and I did X, or I was a part of this. A wonderful example is one of our students who's a sophomore this year, who'll be a rising junior. His name is Tony Kao. He is from Georgetown, and his parents emigrated from Cambodia during the war. And he is in the engineering program. And after attending our retreat in the fall, where we really pushed them to get involved and think about an internship at the end of their sophomore year, he went and got himself a suit and polished up his resume and went to the career fair that the university offers each fall through the Career Center. And he was met representatives from Toyota. And they interviewed him on the spot, and he was hired in September for an internship that would start this past May. So last month, he began his internship at Toyota, making $17.50 an hour for the entire summer working full-time. And he wants to go into the automotive industry. We have another scholar who's in the forestry program, Matthew Savage, and he is now spending the summer working with the Civilian Conservation Corps in Arkansas at a national wildlife refuge. We have other scholars who are interested in accounting who are working with tax firms this summer. We have a variety of majors and programs, but one of the things that's important is we need support from the community to be able to continue to offer these programs, whether it's in law or accounting or communication. We have such a variety of fields and interests. If anybody's interested, all they would have to do is contact our office and let us know they'd be interested in getting an intern next summer, and we'll connect them with one of our scholars.
With our First Scholars program, we do a lot that first and second year of their education here to get them thinking about careers, what they want to do, as Matthew had mentioned, and also to build up the leadership piece and get them thinking about kind of like where they fit and what type of role they may have in an organization or company. And as they move into their junior year, we begin thinking about, okay, we've done so much for you. Now it's time for you to kind of pay it forward or pay it back to the program. So when our students come in as juniors, each one of them actually will be playing a vital role within the First Scholars program and will be giving back to the program by working in various positions. For example, some of our scholars will be becoming mentors. Each one of our first and second year students are assigned a peer mentor, and our scholars that are juniors, again, they've been through the program. They've had 2 years of experiences, and they can attest to the program, give an overview. They know the requirements, and they're able to be there to help answer questions and kind of be that little someone else they can go to other than Martina and if they have questions. We also have within our Pay It Forward program ambassadors. These will be the individuals that will go out to the community. They'll also be able to help with campus tours. They'll be the ones talking about the First Scholars program and serving as little recruiters for our First Scholars program. We'll also have assistants, those who are helping coordinate our community service programs. We'll have a communications marketing assistant to help with that piece and overseeing our social media, helping us publicize events and activities for our program. We'll also have a research assistant. Research is going to be crucial to us, so helping us know what we need to focus on and where we need to be and where we need to go within the program and working with first-generation college students. So we're excited about that position as well. And in addition, we have one last position. That is our faculty staff coordinator. Whereas this student will be working with our faculty staff members and helping us to identify potential faculty and alumni mentors that we'll eventually set up with our students as well. Again, giving them another point of reference, another contact, another addition to their network.
If you'd be interested in helping support the program or wanting to volunteer or be a part of some of the exciting activities that First Scholars offers, please contact us at 859-257-3532, or you can visit our website at www.uky.edu/uge/firstscholars.
And we'll put that information on our website as well, so people can easily click on that and reach you. Thank you very much. Our guests have been Matthew Defendahl and Martina Martin with UK's First Scholars Program. Our complete UK Perspectives interview with these two fine folks is available at wuky.org. For WUKY, I'm Tom Goodell.